Please turn with me to the book of James. I changed my text. This is the text I started with this week and switched. And I may use the Psalm 42 this evening. But James, the fourth chapter, verse 7 through 10, will be the verses that we'll use this morning to deal with a subject I've entitled Constant Confession. James 4. Verse 7 through 10. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Now these are some very, as you can see, straightforward calls through the book of James. There is no, however, formula to salvation. This is not a formula to salvation. Salvation is of the Lord, as you know. This, though, is a response to salvation. And that's really what confession is. We've been talking about confession. And I promise you, as far as I know, today will be the last message on this series. Confession is often not very comfortable, but I hope you can tell by now that it's not a burden. It ought not to be a burden, not confession. In fact, it's one of the greatest gifts that we have from God, that we can confess to him, that we can communicate with him. We can tell God how we feel, even when we don't like the way we feel. We can talk to God about situations that we wish we could change but can't. The thing about confession that makes it so powerful, it, when it's done and it's done with God, then outward circumstances don't really mess up our inward peace. See, what confession does is leads us. It's kind of a format that we go to God for sure, but it leads us to repentance, to turning from our ways, because we are prone to go away from God. We're prone to sin. We still have a sin principle even after we're saved. That's why confession is so essential in our life. And not only confession, but constant confession. That means all the time. I mean, I want you to see it with me like a prayer. You know, God says, what did he say about prayer? He says, pray without ceasing, doesn't he? Now, does that mean that we go around saying a prayer all the time? Does that mean that we stay in the church, the house of prayer all the time? No. But it's an attitude, it's a mindset, if you will. It's a constant awareness of our connection to God. And God does say, be thankful for all things. That's what God says. You know this, I know you do. And yet, does that mean that we're just happy that everything's happened? No, it's realizing, though, that even though we go through situations that are hurtful and break our heart, we know that in the background is a God that loves us and promised us that all things do work together for good. So we can say, we can be thankful. Even when things aren't working out at the present like we suppose they should or would. So I want us to see that confession is in that same category of a continuance. It really is, if I could describe it, I guess in a theological way, it's a response to sanctification. It's our response to sanctification. Sanctification is a process, right? Okay, we've been justified freely by God's grace. We have been forgiven. See, confession is not something that is a payment that we make for our sins. But please don't think that. It's not some kind of payment you make that, oh, I've sinned, I got to pay it now, I got to confess it. No, Christ has already paid for that. He's paid for our sins in full. That is what makes confession so amazing. But it also makes it where we can take it for granted. The main thing that I wanted to say, and I want to get to three or four points in a minute, but constant confession is, and I want to use some of these points that James makes to bring it out. Confession, as we've already defined, is agreeing with God. So why is it essential that we constant? Because we always need to agree with God, constantly. There doesn't need to be any situation in our life that we do not agree with God about. We might not understand it. We might not like it. But we got to understand that we are being conformed to the image of Jesus. It's a process. It doesn't happen all at once. It doesn't. Okay? So then we have to agree with God. And when I'm talking about agreeing with God, not about situations that come in your life and mine that we don't like and can't control. I'm not going to agree with God about sin. We have to understand that confession means that we have to realize there's some things people do that are just flat wrong. I mean, we're living in a world that don't want to call it like that. I mean, it's just wrong. Why is it wrong? Because God says it is. That's why. I mean, you're going to have to take that stand in your life if you're going to be a confessor of Jesus Christ in your life. But then secondly, when I think about constant confession, not only is it simple because we have to agree with God. I mean, you got to know that God is for us, not against us. How far are we going to get in this world if we don't agree with God? Can you know, we have the audacity to take a stand against God and don't realize it. We'd rather agree with culture than God, almost. Not only to agree with God. Here's the problem we have humanly. If you're honest and I'm honest, and that's one of my points, honesty, we have a problem with authority. If you're honest with yourself, most of the problems we have is because of authority. We serve a God that is above all things. And we have to understand that we see Him as our God, and that's what we have to agree with. He has authority. He knows when we're going to die. He knew when we're going to be born. It's God. But also, we need to have constant confession in our lives. Because we've got to fight temptation. We've got to fight temptation. Now, I want to tell you something. Sometimes I share these things. I probably won't. But see, I'm your preacher, supposed to be. But there's times, and I want to tell you, I've been out in the field or the woods, and I get out there sometime, and I remember not long ago. I mean. I haven't forgotten how to say a two-syllable curse word. You understand that? I'm ashamed of it. I hadn't forgotten to say it. Because when I hit my finger with that hammer, when I'm nailing that barbed wire fence, I have said it. But here's the thing. I immediately say, God, forgive me. Now, did I have to say that? No. But if I didn't, I guarantee you what would happen. I would become desensitized. Because that's wrong. Well, you was out there by yourself, nobody heard you. It doesn't matter. I'm going to tell you what. Your relationship to God and your confessing Jesus Christ is most important when you're alone. Because that's where really the sincerity of your faith is about, when you're just alone with God. See? Now this could happen to a guy in an elevator and a pretty girl gets in there with a low-cut dress. You can have a lustful thought and be born again. It happened to a woman too. So what do you do about it? You confess it. You have a mindset that you're always ready because you got to fight that temptation. And I've already tried to say confession is combative. We have to fight it. You envy somebody. I'm kind of tell you like this. I mean, these things, these evil thoughts, these things fly around your mind. Don't say, well, I must not be saved if I ain't thinking like that. Oh, yeah, if you're struggling, you're running in good shape. That's where you need to be. But you can, you know, these birds that fly around our head, so to speak, you don't have to let them build a nest in your hair. See, you confess them. And you go on. That's what I'm talking about, my friend. This is a constant thing. It's not a one-time deal. It's like taking the garbage out. You got to do that a lot. You got to do that in your mind. You got to do that. If you are born again Christian, you understand things come in your life that you don't like, and God has given you the equipment to deal with it. But don't become desensitized. That's what lack of confession does. I'll tell you this. I believe that delayed confession is right next to no confession. Pretty close. So it fights temptation, this divine, this constant confession. But here's the thing I wanted to leave with you or talk about. Essentially, the reason we need constant confession is to maintain fellowship with God. Now, is that important to you or not? Now, we've been talking about soul. I mean, we haven't talked about it, but our theme is confession is good for the soul. I want you to know that your soul is going to live somewhere forever. Either in heaven or hell. I want you to understand this. As a child of God, your soul has been purchased by the blood of Jesus. You have been given the Holy Spirit of God to be the main function of your eternal soul. Okay? And I'm sure, I believe, there's lots of people walking around in this world. I'm talking about born-again Christians that are suffering from soul sickness. I mean, it can affect your physical life. Sister LaRue Mallard told me one time that she wanted to join the Primitive Baptist Church when she was about 10 years old. And said at that time, everybody said, you're not old enough. You don't know what you're doing. Now, I don't think Sister LaRue made this up. She said, Brother Randy, I wanted to so bad and that I couldn't. I got sick. And she was in the hospital. It might have been some virus, I don't know. There's all kinds of supplements. Have you noticed advertised these days how to make your body healthy? How to make your head think better? Live longer. Get all the wrinkles out your face. All these things, you know, people just come unglued about. What I'm telling you about is for your soul. I mean, there was a man that Jesus cited. Man, he prospered. You remember, he described him as a rich farmer, and he had so much, he says, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. He didn't say, I'm going to thank God. He didn't say, I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to confess to him of the pride I felt, how much I need him. The man said, I'm going to build bigger barns to put my stuff in. To which Jesus says, you're a fool. Why? Because today, thy soul is required of thee. What if Jesus came to your house and said, today, your soul is required of thee? Would you be at peace with that? Would it be okay? Well, it has to do with your fellowship with him, doesn't it? I mean, is there some secret sin somewhere in your life? You're not hiding anything from God. Please know that. And the thing about it is, we need to realize that we need to break this stuff out. Proverbs 28:13 says that it's not wise to hide your sin. But when you confess it, it opens up the mercy of God. Confession is how we get mercy from God. And we don't deserve it, but we do. Now, again, confession is a response. You can't do this without the Holy Spirit. But you can't quench the Spirit. That's what the Bible says anyway. I've had people that I have baptized here at this church that have told me, Brother Randy, I wish I'd have done it years ago. Why didn't they? They love God then too. You see, because we have this idea that we can just put it off. I'm going to tell you, until you get God right, nothing else is going to get right in your life. Now, you can fake everything you want to fake. But I'm going to tell you, my friends, that God loves you. And that he gave his only son to die for you on the cross of Calvary and cleanse you from all your sins. So don't think you're going to fix your life with some Band-Aid or some supplement that you're going to pay somebody so much a month to send you bottles of. You go to Jesus Christ. You're talking about health. You're talking about healing. We got it with him. No need to be sickly when we have such a spiritual surgeon as we do in Christ. Okay, I know I don't have but a few minutes, but I want to tell you four things quickly from these verses. I'm talking about constant confession. First is, and I've said this before, Brother Todd talked about this morning. Trust God with everything. If you're going to agree with God about everything, you've got to trust him with everything. Now, you're going to have to review this in your life, in your mind, you see. Do you trust God with everything? See, the thing about confession, it keeps us, too, from relying on our self-righteousness. It's easy for Christians to be self-righteous. So trust God with everything. That's really the definition of faith. It's what you talked about. That's what faith means. I just flat trust God with everything. I agree. What it means is this: God, I want my will to be yours. Whatever you want, that's exactly what I want. And oh God, if I'm not wanting it and this thing hurts me and I don't understand it, I'm going to tell you, Lord, just how I feel. But I want you to know that you're bigger than I am and you're one in charge. And I know, Lord, that you know more than I do. So I'm going to just submit to you. Submission is a key word. Are you submissive to Jesus? Do not confess him as your Savior if you're not willing to confess him as your Lord. He's a Lord and our Savior. What happens when we do? And this bothers more of us than we want to say. It helps us. We accept ourselves. Do you accept yourself? Or do you walk around life trying to always be like somebody else? I wish I had what they had or this had. No, God made you. You're fearfully and wonderfully made, just like you are. You don't have to have a certain look or certain personality. See, confessing and agreeing with God means that you accept yourself just the way you are. Doesn't mean that you don't want to improve and that you see yourself as perfect. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this is my lot in life. God has put me in this place for a purpose. That's what it means. That's confessing. That's constantly walking around thinking, I agree with God. You see God in everything. Secondly, notice what he said. It says, there submit yourselves. You got to do this yourself. You can't do somebody else. And what happens, you resist the devil, and the devil will flee from you. But verse 8 is my second point, and my second point is try to get closer to Jesus. Have you tried to get closer to Jesus? Now, I like the tender song the lady sang, and I thought about that because I could have easily went to John 15 on this text of constant confession where Jesus says, I'm the vine and you're the branches. See, that's staying connected to the vine. No, that's essential in our life. But you want to get closer to Jesus, don't you? Well, why don't we? Well, because if we're not careful, we love people and things more than we love Jesus. I'm just being honest with you. I mean, Jesus said, if you love your mother and father more than me, you're not worthy of me. And that sounds kind of hard. That's what Jesus said. See, confession is not about confessing principles or doctrine. See, we get so caught up on doctrine, make sure we accurate now, make sure we talk about predestination and election and grace. But really, confession is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Where you walk around and you have this mindset of Christ in your life. And I know I'm preaching to the choir because I believe all you guys do that, but I'm going to tell you, you need to cultivate it. I mean, there is a woman, you know the story Jesus tells? This woman had a sickness. He calls it an issue of blood, and she says, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, talking about Jesus, then I'll be whole. She believed that. Now, here's the thing about confession. You can confess all you want to, but if you don't believe God is forgiving and that he forgives you of your sins you confess and that he is fellowship with you. It's not something he wants. That comes from God. I want to tell you guys that God wants us to be close to him. And the closer, the better. The closer, the better. A woman said, I'm going to touch his garment. That's all I need to do. And she did it. You know, she was made whole. And Jesus knew it too. And you know what? Jesus will know when we come close to him. Now, you might call it prayer. You say, well, why don't I read this book? I tell you, we got so many distractions. I was reading this morning John 12, and I never had read this verse. You ever seen verses you never read before? I have. And it talks about these people in the high ups of Jesus that sent him to the cross. And it said the leaders. It says many. I think it's in verse 42. It says many believed on him but would not confess him. Why? Because they were fearful they'd be thrown out the synagogue. I wonder how many Christians there are that God has saved by his mighty grace. That won't confess him, but believe him. I talked to a preacher in a different place one time from this very community who was a pastor of a church that embraced a doctrine, a teaching in that church that was an abomination to God. And he and I was just talking one-on-one, and I asked him, I said, now you know what God says about that, don't you? Then how do you preach it? How do you stand for it? And he told me this. He said, Brother Randy, I am vested, use that word, in this denomination. And if I do not do that, I will lose everything. That's what he said. And there's a lot of that. They are a lot of men and women, I believe, living together outside of marriage, and the reason they're doing it, they don't want to lose their, retirement. Lots of that goes on. People don't confess Christ. Cost them too much. What's it costing you? What is more worthy than your soul, my friends? Maintain that and understand that in our life. Try to come closer to Jesus. And even if you feel like you're running from him, sometimes you need to get closer to him. I know I've shared this many times, but I didn't plan to. But I remember as a little boy, my mama would switch me. I'm talking about with a switch, a peach limb. She would catch me. I would run from her, but she was faster. And I still remember her working on the back of my legs with that switch. But I remember one day, and I didn't know it was just an accident. I don't know. A good one, though. I knew she was on me too quick, and I knew what was coming. And I just turned around, and I hugged my mama right around the waist. And my mama was still switching me, but she couldn't hit me near as hard. When I was hugging her up so close to her, you see? You see that, Brother Todd? She couldn't hit me that hard. That's how it is with God. God says, you draw nigh to me, I'm going to draw close to you. You know, the scripture says, if we confess before Christ before me and he confesses us before the Father. You know what that means? What that means is that's a surety that we're going to have everything we need. Because our God is the source of all things. So when you and I are confessing him, our need of him, not that we're good or we just confess that we're needy. God, I'm sinned. I need this. I didn't want to say that, Lord. I mean, that cow's got their head on the wrong end. They won't go the way I want them to. But you say that and you confess it, and what Christ is doing is confessing that to the Father. See, and the Father is providing everything we need. He does say there's no temptation that taketh you, but it's common to man, but God is faithful. Because Christ is faithful. He's our intercessor, you see. It's not so much that you and I are worthy of it. I know I'm not faithful. But Christ is. Try to get closer to Jesus. Thirdly, tell the truth. James says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. You know, don't try to say one thing and do something else. See, constant confession is this. It's walking the walk. That's what it is. See, and another thing I want to make sure we understand about constant confession, it's not saying, well, Lord, guide me today and show me, Lord, what I'm going to do. No, it's just going about your life by faith, and you know, God will lead you. You just trust Him with everything, including what you're supposed to do. But also, let Him have free course of understanding. You let Him have every key to your room, of your house, and your life. Don't just try to lock something in the closet that you don't want Him to see. You just say, God, you got it all. Because I'm going to tell you what, God makes, by His grace, the vilest sinner clean. You know, you're not going to sin something. You're not, if you're a believer in Christ, you're not going to out-sin grace. Oh, no. You're not. You know, tell the truth. That's being honest. That's constant confession. You know, sometimes that's hard. Truth hurts, but it makes you free. You know, we're living in a world where people don't tell the truth much. I mean, I know this is just a temporal thing and a workforce, but I know in my little stuff, you know, I've asked people to do things, and they'll say, I'll be over there tomorrow. They never show up. You don't ever hear from them. I mean, people got so used to texting and communicating via the internet, they don't know how to talk to anybody in the eyes anymore. I mean, what we have is a culture of cowards. People don't want to tell the truth. The man can say, you know, I can't do that. I'm not going to be able to do it. I mean, people will say, what is this? The answer to this. They're going to tell you something. I mean, we're living in an AI world, you know. Let's go find out the answer to everything. Sometimes we don't know. There are things you don't know. Lots of things I don't know. And then lastly, and I'll be short, there's a time for tears. When's the last time you had a good cry? I'm talking about one that works grief. I'm talking about there's a time for mourning. James says, be afflicted and mourn and weep. We like to laugh, and there's a time for laughing too, but I'm going to tell you what. We don't need to try to hide the tear. Sometimes that's the way we see the heaven more clearly, through the prism that the tears makes in our lives, in our eyes. Sometimes we just say, God, give me grace to tear, just to tear up, oh Lord, just to have so much emotion that my heart overfills. You're talking about amazing grace? I'm going to tell it to you. You know what, the grace is amazing? How we and you, me and you, can sin and still have fellowship with God. You ever thought about that? You ever thought about the difference between you and me and God and life and all that, and how God says, you come to me, I'll give you rest. I'm going to tell you, friends, we don't need to take that for granted. It'll help you get along with God better. It'll help you get along with people better in your life. You know what he says? God forgives all our sins, but you know he keeps our tears in a bottle. Did you know that the Bible says that your tears, God keeps in a bottle? I don't believe he's got many for me yet. They may be coming. But if they're needful, Lord, you get the glory and the honor for it. Jesus himself was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Jesus himself said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are they that mourn, they will be comforted." You know, the reason we don't feel so good about God as we ought is because we never felt so bad. Sometimes you got to get sick before you can realize what feeling good really means. Some of you have felt this, I know I have. You get down, you convict of a sin, you pray, and you get on your knees and confess it. And you just feel the outflow of God's mercy coming in your heart. And you get up and you feel cleaner. It doesn't matter if you get a bonus down at workplace or not. I mean, you got fellowship with God. What good's anything without that? Anyway, that's what constant confession means. I want to tell you what, as long as y'all guys want me here to try to preach, I'm going to be confessing. I pray that I am. Listen, we're not to lie about Jesus ever. You're not beyond that, and I'm not either. Peter wasn't, but he wept. And Jesus wept too when Lazarus died. Thank you. You know, we can help each other with constant confession. Iron does sharpen iron. Confession sharpens confession. James says that we're to confess our faults one to another, that you may be healed. He says the humble, fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. God says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall turn from their wicked ways, shall humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. Maybe we've been spending too much time on the internet. Maybe we need to spend some time with God. Maybe we're so concerned about how our fellowship is with everything and everybody else that we're leaving out the one that is the source of everything. See, we're going to walk outside in a minute, and we're going to see the sun, the S-U-N. That's how God is in a way. I mean, by him, we see everything else. You don't have fellowship with God, it'd just be like clouds all the time. Don't you know how it is when you ever been through those periods? We've had a few lately where it's just cloudy for a week or two at the time. Don't you think it makes you feel kind of bad? It does me. I mean, that's what lack of confession does. I'm not here just telling you something you ought to do or be to be saved. I just want to prompt us of the essentiality of maintaining a fellowship with God. And you have been given this through Christ. Christ has done all this that we've mentioned from James. It's not like you got to come up with it. We have a Lord and Savior that has done it for us and calls us to him. I pray the Lord would help us not waste his grace. Life is too short. Nor have a seared conscience. I think that's where we can get into when we're not constantly confessing and gives us a mindset of Christ in our life. Now I'm going to walk down here just a minute. I'm going to give you an opportunity to confess the Lord Jesus Christ. I know there are some people in this room that believe Jesus, and I believe you're a child of God, and you haven't been baptized with water. And if you go home and you get in a wreck and get killed, you're not going to go to hell for not doing it. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to tell you what, it'll give you peace. Glorify God. You let the Holy Spirit kind of settle that, okay? I'm just going to say confession is good for the soul. We've got to take it for what it's worth. God is good all the time. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you, Lord, for the call to confession. Lord, what is a wonder that you'd have anything to do with any of us? Gosh, I didn't even mean to say that hardly, but it's the truth. But you do. You love us, Lord. And Lord, when we're not in the same page, even in our families, our marriages, our children, it affects everything about us. Much less, Lord, to be out of fellowship with you. Gosh, forgive us, Lord, and strengthen us. Help us search our hearts today. Try not to put off maintaining our fellowship with you. It might take tears, Lord, I don't know, but it'd be worth it. You died on the cross for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.